Thank you very much. Now that we've hopefully recovered from the Yom Tov of Purim, it's time to set our sights on Pesach. Which is why, aside from the double parsha, that we read in Shul this week, we also read Parshas HaChodesh from Parshas Bo, which outlines some of the basic halachos of the Yom Tov of Pesach. One of the first things that anyone preparing for the Yom Tov does is draw up a list of items that need to be purchased, and invariably at the top of that list is a number of pounds of shmura matzah that the family or that the individual needs. I thought, therefore, that perhaps it would be appropriate to talk about what exactly qualifies as shmura matzah and how much is actually needed. When is there a chiyuv? When is it appropriate to eat shmura matzah during Pesach? It all begins with a Mishnah in Pesachim. The Mishnah on Daf Lamed Hey lists different items that one can or cannot use to be yotze the mitzvah of achilas matzah on the Seder night. In source one, you see at the end of the Mishnah, it's a long Mishnah with different items, the Chameshes Minudagon and other things. At the end of the Mishnah, the last line, it says, Chalos HaToda Urekike Nazir, the loaves from the Karban Toda. We know of the Karban Toda, there were 40 loaves, 10 of which were chametz, but 30 were matzah. So the 30 loaves of matzah, the question is whether one can use that to be yotze the mitzvah of achilas matzah on Pesach. The Mishnah says, Chalos Toda and Rekike Nazir, Asa'on La'atzmo, if you made them for yourself, meaning you made them to be Yotze Yochi of Karban, to bring them as part of your Karban for Nazir or for Toda, Ein Yotze Bahen. One may not fulfill one's obligation in the mitzvah of Matzah on the Seder night with these items. Why not? The Gemara in Source 2 on Daf Lamed Ches quotes Rabbah, who says it's based on a Pasuk. The Pasuk in Parashas Bo says, Ushmartem es ha-matzos, from which we derive matzah, hamishtameres l'shei matzah. The only matzah with which one may fulfill one's obligation of achilas matzah on the Seder night is matzah which has been guarded for the express purpose of the mitzvah of matzah. The matzah has to be guarded to prevent it from becoming chametz, but it must be guarded specifically for the mitzvah of matzah on Pesach. Yotzes hazu, as opposed to these matzos, the rekike nozer, the chalos toda, she'in mishtameres l'shei matzah, Elo l'shum zevach. These matzos have been guarded not for the purpose of matzah on Pesach, but rather for the purpose of the karbonos of the nozir, for the purpose of the karbon todah. As Rashi there explains in Source 3, Ushmartem es ha-matzos, Ovid l'shmira l'shei matzah. One is supposed to guard the matzah specifically for the mitzvah of achilas matzah on Pesach. Kol shimur shata meshamra, shelo tachmitz. All of the shmira, all of the guarding, the watching of the matzah that you do to prevent it from becoming chametz, says Rashi, Hiskaven l'shei matzah shel mitzvah. You should have a kavona that it should be for the express purpose of the matzah shel mitzvah. This is the source of the halacha that matzah that one uses for the Leil HaSeder is supposed to be shmura. It's supposed to be shmura l'shma. We're supposed to have a kavona l'shma. We should watch the matzah to prevent it from becoming chametz for the express purpose of the mitzvah of matzah. Where does the Gemara, where does Rashi derive this? Where does he see this from the Pasuk, Lishmartem es ha-matzos? The Pasuk simply says that we should guard the matzos. It doesn't say anything about Lishma. So the Tzlach there in his commentary to Pesachim explains that at first glance, if you look at this Pasuk, it seems extra. It's not necessary for the Pasuk to tell me Lishmartem es ha-matzos, because we know that Chazal have given us simonim, they've given us signs to determine whether something is chametz or not. The Mishnah at the end of the third parak of Pesachim writes that if there's some form in the dough that looks kekarni chagavim, if it looks like the horns of grasshoppers, or hechsifu panav, if the dough looks a little bit white, so that's there's a chashash, a concern of chametz in that particular dough. But if you don't have these simonim, of course, bezman hazeh, we're not as expert as they were in identifying horns of grasshoppers. I've never seen horns of grasshoppers in the matzah before, but those who know, those in the know, could be able to figure out, if you present them with a piece of matzah, they'd be able to figure out and to tell you whether that's chametz or not. So if Chazal have given us simonim to determine what is chametz and what's not, so why does the pasuk tell me, Ushmartem es ha-matzos? There's no need to watch the matzah whatsoever. Let's bake the matzah at our leisure and then examine the matzah. Get the experts, examine the matzah, and determine, is this matzah chametz or is this matzah not chametz? The fact that the pasuk went out of its way to say u'shmaytem es ha-matzos, that there's an obligation to guard the matzah to ensure that it doesn't become chametz, that indicates, claims the tzlach, that indicates that there's an extra halacha that the pasuk is teaching me here. What is that halacha? That you have to be shomer the matzah l'shma, that you have to create the matzah shel mitzvah l'shma for the express purpose of the mitzvah of matzah. Just like in other areas of halacha, we find that there's a requirement in the creation of the cheftza shel mitzvah. There's the requirement of lishma, like in the case of a get. The pasuk says v'kas avla, from which we derive lo lishma. The get has to be written l'shem ha'ish, l'shem ha'isha, l'shem gerishin. In the case of tzitzis, the pasuk says gedilim tasalacha, from which we derive l'shem chovcha, that the gedilim, the strings of tzitzis, have to be spun for the express purpose of the mitzvah of tzitzis. They have to be twined. Shazira has to be done lishma as well. Perhaps they even have to be put on the beged lishma. So too, when it comes to the creation of the cheftza shel mitzvah, the object of matzah, it has to be created lishma. This is derived from the pasuk u'shmartem es ha-matzos. From exactly when do we have to guard the matzah? So that's a debate among the Rishonim. Some Rishonim claim that Mishas Lisha is enough, as long as you watch the matzah after you've introduced water into the mixture at the time of kneading, that's enough to be defined as Shmira Lishma. Others claim Mishas Tchina from the time of grinding, and yet others, many Rishonim, the Rif and the Rambam are Makbid, that the Shmira should be Mishas Ktsira from the time of the harvesting of the grain. And in fact, this is the chumrah that most of the matzah bakeries. They watch, at least for the hand shmura matzah, for the machine shmura as well, but not for the matzah pshuta, they are careful to guard the matzah mishas ktsira, to be machmer for those shitas that claim that the shmira has to be from the time of the harvesting. It's based on this gemara and the Rashi here, the requirement of kavana lishma in the shmura matzah, that some poskim have questioned whether we can be yotze the mitzvah of achilas matzah on the Seder night with what we call machine shmura matzah. Machine shmura, not the hand shmura, but the machine shmura. What's the problem with the machine shmura? So truth be told, the problem is not one of chametz. There's no concern for chimutz in the machines. Maybe in the original machines, the primitive machines that they had in Europe, maybe there was more of a concern for chimutz there. But our machines, the modern day machines that you have in Streitz and in other companies, the procedure of the creation of the matzah is quite standardized. There's really no chashash whatsoever that any chametz will get in there. In fact, some have claimed that there's less of a concern for chametz in the machine shmura matzah as opposed to the hand shmura matzah, because the procedure in the creation of the machine shmura matzah is much more standardized. So it's not a concern for chimus that the poskim question whether one can be yotze with the machine shmura. The question is one of lishma. Why? Because we know whenever you need a kavana lishma in the creation of a cheftza shel mitzvah, that kavana lishma has to be supplied by the one who creates the cheftza. If a person, let's take the case of get, the lishma has to be supplied by the individual who's writing the get. The pasuk says v'kas avla lishma, so the lishma has to be provided by the one who's writing the get. If the individual is incapable of having that kavana lishma, even if there's someone else standing next to him, and he's mechaven lishma, he has that kavana, he has that intention, that's insufficient. The cheftza shel mitzvah has to be created by an individual who's having that kavana lishma. So let's say, for instance, the get is being written by a cheresh shota or a katan. Let's say it's being written by someone who's mentally incapable of having that kavana lishma himself. If there is what we call a gadol omer al gabav, if there's a Yisrael who stands next to the cheresh shota or a katan, then that get could be kosher. Why? Not because the Yisrael, who's Omid al-Gabav, supplies the Kavan al-Shma, but because the Gadol, who's Omid al-Gabav, trains the Cheresh-Ot v'Katan to have the Kavan al-Shma, and now the Cheresh-Ot v'Katan themselves are going to have that kind of Kavan. But let's say the individual who's creating the Cheftza Shel Mitzvah will not have the Kavan al-Shma, even if the Yisrael is Omid al-Gabav and trains him, then the cheftza is going to be possible for that particular mitzvah. If the get is written, let's say, by a goy, right? The Gemara says if a goy writes the get is possible. Why? Even if there's a Yisrael who's Omid al-Gabav, the Yisrael Gadol is Omid al-Gabav, he's standing next to the goy and telling him, write the get lishma, it doesn't matter. Why? Because Chazal made a psychological assessment of a guy. They said, Akum adaita denafshe ka'avir. A guy marches to his own drummer. He has his own agenda. He's not going to listen to the Yisrael. So even though the Yisrael has kavon lishma, he has the intention of lishma, that's not enough. The guy is not going to have that intention, and the Yisrael, who's Amid al-Gabov, can't supply the kavana lishma. He can only train the individual who's creating the chefza to have that kavana. But if the person who's creating the chefza will not want to have that kavana, then the Yisrael, who's Amid al-Gabov, is not going to help. Applying that to our context, obviously the machine that's making the matzah can't have the kavana lishma. Right? So even though the Yisrael, who's Amid al-Gabov, the Yisrael is standing next to the machine, making sure everything happens appropriately, but the Yisrael, who's Omid al-Gabov, can't supply the kavana lishma that's necessary in the creation of the matzah. Because all he can do is train the individual or the object that's creating the matzah to have that kavana lishma. And any object, the machine, can't have the kavana lishma. So the kavana that the Yisrael is going to have will be insufficient to stamp this matzah with a kavana lishma. Perhaps we might suggest, who needs the Yisrael to train the machine to have the kavana lishma? The Yisrael is creating the matzah. It's the Yisrael. It's the human being that's creating the matzah. How so? Well, he's pressing the button. By pressing the button, he's making the machine work. So isn't he the one creating the matzah? Would you say the machine is creating the matzah? The individual is creating the matzah. But the answer is, it's not so clear. The fact is, in halacha, we distinguish between what we call koach rishon and koach sheni. Koach rishon refers to the effect of a person's action, which is more direct. It relates directly to the person. Koach sheni is a more extended effect of the person's action. Koach rishon is defined in halacha as maisa adam. That maisa, that act, if we'll call it koach rishon, is attributed to the person. But koach sheni, a more extended effect that emerges from the act of the individual, that has the halachic status of a grama, of what we call indirect causation. Okay, that's not attributed to the person. So if it's not attributed to the person, then the fact that the individual presses the button doesn't attribute the creation of the matzah to him. The fact is, we look at it as though the machine is creating the matzah. The individual may have pressed the button, but what happens, the extended process that's going to create the matzah, is far beyond, far after the initial pressing of the button that the human being does, and therefore it will only be defined as koach sheni. In source 4, we cite the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which points out that, let's say a person, Haiman de Kafte Lechavre, if someone ties up another individual, it's hard to believe that he's his friend, but ties up another individual, Vashkil Alei Bitka Demaya, and then he opens a dam and lets the water rush down onto the person. Obviously, he intends to kill the individual. Says the Gemara, Giri Dideyu. That's viewed as his arrow. That's his koach. Says the Gemara, Hani Mili Bekoach Rishon. That's only in Koach Rishon. If the individual is drowned by the initial rush of water that emerges from the dam. Avul Bekoach Sheni, but if he's drowned by the ensuing water that hits him downstream, he's tied up a bit further away, let's say a mile away from the dam. Ultimately, though, the water from the dam hits him and it drowns him there. That's defined as koach sheni, grama bi'almahu, that's only indirect causation. The person is not going to be chayiv for that ritzicha. Why? Because that act, the ritzicha that occurred, is not attributed to the human being. It's not attributed to the person who opened the dam. It has the same halachic status as indirect causation. It's what we call koach sheni. It's an extended effect of the person, and it's not attributed to the person. So in a similar sense, if a person is to push the button on the machine, what's happening here? The initial act of the machine perhaps might be attributed to the person. But the extended act, the creation of the matzah takes a few minutes, I'm sure, in the machine. So the extended act of the machine is not attributed to the person. So we're left with a problem that since the machine is really the one that's defined as creating the chefetz shel matzah, how could it be? How can we use machine shmura matzah? That matzah is not made lishma. Because even if the Yisrael that's standing next to the machine has the kavana lishma, the fact is that whenever you need lishma, it's the creator of the chefetz shel mitzvah that has to supply that kavana lishma. It's not enough that the kavana lishma is a thought, is an intention that some other individual who's unrelated, who's not actually creating the chefetz shel mitzvah, is having that kavanah. So the question is there any way that we can justify using Mishin Shmura Matzah for the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah on the Seder night? The answer is, if you look carefully at the Rosh, one of the other Rishonim, you note that there's a striking difference between Matzah as opposed to the other areas of Halacha which require Kavan Lishma. We mentioned at the outset that whenever Kavan Lishma, whenever the intention, express intention for the Chevta Shal Mitzvah is required in the creation of the object, a Goy is possible for the creation of that Chevta. Goy is possible for the writing of a Get, he's possible for the creation of Tzitzis, etc. What's the Halacha when it comes to Matzah? Is a Goy possible or is a Goy cautious? So if you were to ask me, I'd say, since you need Kavan Lishma, as Rashi indicated based on the Gemara in Psachim and Daf Lamed Ches, I would say a guy should be Pasal. Should be no difference between the creation of the Chevta Shal Matzah, the creation of the Chevta Shal Tzitzis, the creation of a Get. But the Rosh actually quotes two opinions in the Gaonim. He says that the Rav Kohen Tzedek claims that one cannot be Yotze his Chiv of Achilas Matzah on the Seder night with Matzah that was baked by a guy. But Rav Haigon claims, if you look there on the second line in Surah 6, he says, "V'Rav Haigon zal kosav matzah shafa nochri lifnei Yisrael al yedei shimur kitikuna." If the guy baked the matzah before the Yisrael through the proper shimur, everything was being watched appropriately to prevent it from becoming chometz, muteres li Yisrael la'ochlim. The Yisrael is allowed to eat that. It's not simply muteres, it's not simply the fact that we're not concerned that it's chametz, but rather one can be yotzei as chiyah for achilas matzah as well. Wow, that's fascinating. Rav Haigon says that even though when it comes to other areas of halacha which require lishma, the guy is absolutely possible for the creation of that cheft. So we assume that akum adaita de nafshe ka'avin, the guy has his own agenda. He's not going to have the kavan lishma. Yet when it comes to the creation of matzah, Rav Haigon is willing to say that a guy is kosher for the creation of matzah. How could that be? The guy is not going to have kavan lishma. The Yisrael Omid al Gabav can't infuse the process with a kavan lishma, because we know that the only individual who can supply the kavan lishma is the person who's actually creating the Chevta Shal Mitzvah. So why is matzah somehow different? Why is there one opinion in the Gaonim that assumes that a guy can create the Chevta Shal Matzah? There are two basic answers given to this question. One is somewhat questionable, the other perhaps is more acceptable. The first answer that's given is based on a Rambam. The Rambam in Source 7 in Hilchos Chametz Matzah Perek Hey Halacha Tes, the Rambam seems to deny the idea of Lishma when it comes to Shmura Matzah, as opposed to Rashi, who espouses and who supports this notion of Lishma in the creation of the matzah. The Rambam seems to leave it out. In fact, they left out something else over here in the Rambam. In the new versions of the Rambam, the beginning of Halacha Tes is actually placed as part of Halacha Ches. I'm not sure exactly why they do that, but that's what happens. So the truth is, the Rambam, in the old versions of the Rambam, Halacha Tes began Mishum Shenemar Ushmartem Es HaMatzah, because the pasuk says Ushmartem Es HaMatzah Us Lufikach Amru Chachamim. That's Halacha Tes that you had. Lufikach Amru Chachamim Tzarech Adam Lizar B'Dogan She'ochem Yimelech Pesach Shlo Yavol Av Mayim Acha Sheniktzar Ad Shlo Yebo Shum Chimutz. Chazal told us that we have to be careful from the moment of Ktzira. You see, the Rambam is careful to say that you need Shmura Mishas Ktzira. Chazal told us that we have to be careful from the moment of Ktzira to ensure, to guard, to watch the grain, that no water should come on it. The Rambam doesn't make any mention of the need for Lishma. The Rambam just says that the Pasuk Ushmartem Es HaMatzos tells me that one shouldn't rely on the simonim that Chazal gave us, the simonim to ensure whether something is chametz or not. We shouldn't rely on those simonim, but rather we should guard the matzah actively. We should make sure no water comes on the matzah after the time of ktsira. We should make sure that even after introducing water to the mixture in the creation of a dough, that we shouldn't leave the matzah without work, right? That people should constantly be working and beating at it. We shouldn't leave it unattended, if you will, for 18 minutes, right? The shear of a mill, where machmir is 18 minutes. We shouldn't rely on the simanim to know whether the item is chametz or not, but rather we should guard the matzah actively. That's all you see from the Rambam. The pasuk Shmartim es haMatzos tells me that there's a requirement of what we call shimur mechimutz, to watch the matzah to prevent it from becoming chametz. But kavana lishma, where does the Rambam say that you need kavana lishma? This prompted the Aruch HaShulchan in source 8 to say that perhaps Rav Haigon, in claiming that a goy is kosher for the creation of matzah, Rav Haigon is taking the position of the Rambam. Rav Haigon is assuming that perhaps there's no requirement of kavana lishma whatsoever. Maybe the pasuk Shmartim es haMatzos doesn't tell me that you need lishma. All it tells me is not to rely on the simanim to know, to determine whether the cheftza that you have in front of you, the object you have in front of you, is chametz or not. The pasuk is telling me that you have to be shomer the matzah from chametz. It's not telling me that you need kavan lishma. If you don't need kavan lishma, then it's obvious why a goy can create the matzah. The goy can bake the matzahs because you don't need kavan lishma. When is a goy unsuitable for the creation of a cheftza shel mitzvah? Only where kavan lishma is necessary. But if kavana lishma is not necessary, then a goy, of course, can make the matzah. So it would appear that based on this Rambam, we can justify Rav Haigon's position that a goy is kosher for the creation of matzah, because maybe not everyone subscribes to the position of Rashi. Maybe not everyone holds that you need a kavana lishma in the creation of matzah. Maybe, as the Rambam says, the pasuk Shmartem es haMatzos only tells me that one has to be shomer the matzah from chimutz. That's it. And if that's the case, then a goy is capable of creating the matzah. He's capable of baking the matzah, of kneading the matzah and baking the matzah. Why? Because even if we'll assume that we can't trust the goy to be shomer the matzah, we can't even trust him to watch the matzah appropriately. We can't trust him to have a kavanah lishma. We can't trust him to watch the matzah. But the Yisrael who's standing next to the goy certainly can watch the matzah. So as long as the Yisrael is standing next to the goy and watching that the matzah doesn't become chametz, the goy should be able to create the cheftza shel matzah. This is the position of the Aruch HaShulchan based on the Rambam. The position that the Aruch HaShulchan suggests to justify Rav Haigon's shita, that perhaps a goy might be kosher to bake the matzahs. At first glance, this position is somewhat questionable.
Yeah.
We're going to get to it. That's a good point. That's an excellent point. Excellent point. Excellent point. This approach of the Rambam, this approach in explaining the Rambam, seems to be a little bit difficult. Because the idea that you need lishma in the creation of matzah is not a debate among Rishonim. It's not simply Shitas Rashi. The fact is, the source for kavana lishma is a Gemara, as we started with. The Gemara Daf Lamed Ches says that there's a requirement for lishma. That's why Rekikei Nazir and Chalos Toda may not be used for the mitzvah of matzah on the Seder night, right? It's not just the Shitas Rashi. The Rambam can't deny the Gemara. The Rambam has to subscribe to the Gemara. So how can he just omit the requirement of lishma in the creation of matzah? The Rambam has to somehow explain the Gemara. In fact, the Rambam paskens like this Gemara. If you look further in Perek Vav Halacha Tes, not Perek Hey Halacha Tes, but Perek Vav, which is actually in Source 10, the Rambam writes, Chalos Toda Rekike Nazir She'asa Osan La'atzmo Ein Yotzin Bahen Shenemar U'shmartem Es haMatzah Az Matzah HaMishtameres L'inin Matzah Bovad. The Rambam quotes the Gemara that Chalos Toda and Rekikei Nazir may not be used to be outside the midst of matzah. So the Rambam himself claims that the matzah has to be created l'shem matzah. So how can we justify, how can we reconcile these two Rambams? The Rambam on the one hand claims that Chalos Toda and Rekikei Nazir may not be used for the midst of matzah, clearly implying that the matzah has to be created l'shem mitzvah. And yet the Rambam earlier in Perek Hey Halacha Tes omits the requirement of lishma and seems to say that the pasuk Shmartem es haMatzos simply tells me that we have to guard the matzah to prevent it from becoming chametz, but there's no need to have a kavanah lishma. Some have suggested that perhaps the Rambam holds that there really are tzvei dinim. There are two different halachos that the pasuk Shmartem es haMatzos teaches me. The basic pasuk, the basic din d'araisa that the pasuk Gushmartim Asamatzis teaches me is the requirement of lishma. That's the Rambam in Perek Vav. Gushmartim Asamatzis tells me that you have to have a kavan lishma in the creation of the Chefza Shomatza. The Rambam in Perek Hei is saying that Chazal, looking at the Pshuto Shomikra, looking at the simple reading of the pasuk, introduced another halacha. Chazal added that above and beyond the kavan lishma that you need in the creation of matzah's mitzvah, the matzah that you're going to be yotzah the mitzvah on the Seder night, you also have to watch the matzah. Any matzah that you eat throughout the Yom Tov of Pesach, it's not enough that you know that it's not chametz, but rather you have to watch that matzah, guard it, to ensure that it doesn't become chametz. This is not related to the mitzvah of eating matzah, but rather to any matzah that you eat throughout the Yom Tov of Pesach. The Rambam thought that the Chachamim derived such a halacha as an asmachta. They linked it to the pasuk. If you look carefully at the lashon of the Rambam, it's very meduyik in the Rambam, because the Rambam in source 7, the Rambam in Perek Hey of Hilchas Matzah says mishum shenema, the part of the Rambam that we don't have, mishum shenema ushmartem es hamatzos. Mishum shenema ushmartem es hamatzos. Kolomar hizaru b'matzav eshimru osa mikol tzad chimutz. The pasuk ushmartem es hamatzos tells me don't just check the matzah afterwards. Be bodek the matzah to determine whether it's chametz or not. No, be careful to watch the matzah, to guard it, to ensure that it doesn't become chametz. Lefikach amru chachamim. The chachamim said, Tzarech adam lizar b'dagad she'ochel mimena b'pesach shelo yavo olav mayim achar shenikza. The Rambam says that the chachamim added another halacha based on ushmartem es hamatzos. They looked at the pasuk, and from the pasuk they added another halacha. They made an asmachta. They linked to the pasuk, to the pshuto shel mikra, that above and beyond the special requirement of lishma that you need in matzah's mitzvah, the matzah with which you're going to be yotze, the mitzvah of matzah on the Seder night, one has to be concerned with all matzah that you eat throughout the Yom Tov of Pesach, that it should be guarded, it should be watched to prevent it from becoming chametz. One shouldn't rely on the special simanim that Chazal gave. So the truth is, if you look carefully at the Rambam, even though the simple reading of the Rambam in Perek Hei Halacha Tes, which seemed to indicate that the Rambam holds that there is no requirement of Kavanah Lishma, it's clear from the Rambam in Perek Vav Halacha Tes that the Rambam subscribes to the notion of Lishma and Matzah. And apparently the Rambam holds that there really are two different principles that Chazal saw in this Pasuk. The basic Din D'Araisa, the basic Halacha that you need the Kavanah Lishma, but the additional halacha, the additional din d'rabbanan, if you will, that all matzah that one eats on Pesach should be guarded to prevent it from becoming chametz. So from the Rambam, you can't really, there's no real source to justify Rav Haigon's position, because even the Rambam has to agree that at least for the matzah with which one is being yotzei, the mitzvah of achilas matzah on the Seder night, one needs kavanah lishma. That's the Rambam in Perek Vav Halacha Tes. So we're back to the drawing board. How can we justify Rav Haigon's position that a guy is kosher to create the matzah's mitzvah for the Seder night? The answer that the Achronim give, that the Poskim give, is that if you look carefully at the source that we quoted at the outset of the shir, the source for this idea of Kavanah Lishma, if you medayah carefully from that Rashi, you see that the presentation that we've been giving as to where the Kavanah Lishma is necessary might be somewhat questionable. How so? We started by quoting the Gemara about the Chalas Toda and the Rekike Nazir, and we cited Rashi. Rashi in Source 2 says that Kol Shimur Shata Meshamash Lotach Mitzvizkavin L'Shei Matzah Shol Mitzvah. Rashi says that all of the Shimur that you do, you should be careful that it should be L'Shei Mitzvah. Based on this Rashi, some of the Achronim and the Poskim suggest, you see, that Matzah is the same as any other Chefza Shel Mitzvah which requires a Kavanah Lishma. A get has to be written Lishma. Tzitzis have to be created Lishma. Matzah is the same. The creation of the matzah, the lisha, the tchina, the ktsira, whatever action you do in the creation of the matzah, where at whatever stage you want to be machmir, to have lishma, to have that kavanah lishma is necessary in the creation of the matzah. But if you look carefully at the Rashi, that's not what Rashi says. Rashi doesn't say that you need kavanah lishma at the time of the ktsira, or the tchina, or the lisha. Rashi says that you need kavanah lishma when? During the shimur.
The shimur has to be the Shema. Not the act, the creative act. Not the act that's creating the matzah. It's the shimur that has to be the Shema. In the context of get, the pasuk says, v'kasav la, from which we derive la l'shma. The get has to be written, l'shem ha'ish, l'shem ha'isha, l'shem gerishin. But what has to be done l'shma? V'kasav, the ksiva, the act of ksiva, the act of writing has to be done l'shma. When it comes to tzitzis, the pasuk says, gedilim ta'asa l'cha, l'shem chovcha. The tzitzis have to be made. Asiya, the asiya of the tzitzis, the tviya, the spinning, the shazira, the twining, perhaps the tliya, the hanging of the tzitzis on the knaf of the beged, on the corner of the beged, has to be done l'shma. In both of these cases, the pasuk clearly delineates that what has to be l'shma is the act, the creative act that's making the chefza. But in the case of matzah, what does the pasuk say? U'shmartem es ha-matzos. The pasuk doesn't mention the lisha, the ktsira, the tchina. It only mentions the shimur. So some achronim suggest that perhaps the only thing that has to be lishma, when do we need the kavan lishma supplied? Only in the shimur, not in the creation of the chefetz shel matzah. So even if the guy is the one who is kneading the dough, or grinding the grain, or cutting the grain, even if the guy is the one who's involved in the act of creation of the matzah, that doesn't matter. Because as long as the Yisrael is watching carefully, as long as the Yisrael is doing the shmira, and ensuring that the grain is not going to become, or the dough is not going to become chametz, that's enough. As long as the Yisrael is shomer, he's the one who's doing the shmira, he's the one who has to supply the kavanah lishma. This is in fact what the Ritva quotes in the name of his Rebbe, the Ra'ah. If you look at the source 9, the Ritva quotes the Ra'ah as saying, Avul mori hara'ah zal hayadon lehokel. The sagi bi Yisrael omer al gabo de lo bi inan asiyah l'shem matza rak shimur l'shem matza. It's a brisker ra'ah. You don't need asiyah l'shem matza. You need shimur l'shem matza. Meaning the kavanah l'shma has to be in the shimur, not in the creative act, in the shmura. And as long as the Yisrael is the one who's watching the matza, he's ensuring that whatever the guy is doing is not making the matza chametz. That should be sufficient. As long as he has kavan lishma, that should be sufficient. So this might explain Rav Haigold's position that a guy is kosher to create the matzah. Even though a guy is possible to create any other chefza shel mitzvah which requires lishma, that's because any other chefza that requires lishma requires the kavan lishma in the creative act, in the writing of the get, in the creation of the strings of the tzitzis. But here it could be that there really is no requirement for kavanah lishma in the creation of the matzah per se, but rather in the shmira. And as long as the Yisrael is the one who's doing that shmira, he can provide the kavanah lishma for that shmira as well. In Shulchan Aruch, though, we don't paskin this way. In Shulchan Aruch, we paskin like the first shita that the Rosh quotes, the Shulchan Aruch. I didn't put it in the Makaras, but in Siman Tav Samach Zif Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the other shita, that a guy is possible to create the chefetz shel matzah, just like he's possible for the creation of the chefetz shel tzitzis, and he's possible for the creation of the get, so too he's possible for the creation of the matzah. What's the basis of such a shita? If you look carefully at the Rashi, especially in light of the pasuk u'shmartem es ha-matzos, it would appear that it's pretty obvious that the kavanah lishma is only necessary in the shmira, not in the afiyah, or the lisho, or the trino, or the ktsira. So how can this other shita, right? The burden is on the other shita. How can this other shita claim that a guy is possible for the creation of the matzahs? The answer that's given is based on a comment of the Me'iri in Pesachim. The Me'iri in source 11. Thank you. The Me'iri in source 11 says, "Aval batzek shalahem, the batzek of goyim." Lo, one is not allowed to use that for the mitzvah of matzah. Ugedolei hamafarshim pirshua af bifoneinu. Even if it's bifoneinu, even if Yisrael watches the guy creating the matzah, it's still possible. Why? Umimasha amru chazaka ein adam mishamer masha biyad chavera. The Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Chaf, in the context of Taros, says that Chazal made a psychological assessment of human beings, that one person is not going to watch what's under someone else's control. So if something has to be watched to prevent it from becoming tameh, we assume that ein adam mishamer masha biyad chaver, a person doesn't watch appropriately what's in someone else's control, what's in someone else's hands.
and therefore there's a chashash that maybe it became tameh. Says the Meiri in a similar sense when it comes to matzah. If matzah has to be shamur l'shem mitzvah, the Yisrael who's omed al gaba, the Yisrael who's standing next to the guy and making sure that he makes the matzah appropriately, doesn't make it chametz, that Yisrael is not going to be shomer that matzah. It comes out strange that the problem is not so much a problem of lishma. If the Yisrael were able to watch the matzah appropriately and ensure that it wouldn't become chametz, so that he would be able to supply the lishma in that shmirah. The problem is he can't be shomer the matzah appropriately. Because since the matzah is under the control of the guy, we assume that the Yisrael is not so careful. He doesn't watch it appropriately because he's not in control of that chefza, of that dough. Right? So it's not so much a problem of lishma, it's a problem that the Yisrael is not going to watch the matzah appropriately. He's not going to watch the dough appropriately to prevent it from becoming chametz. That which Rav Haigon disagrees and claims that the Yisrael can supply that shimur, and consequently he can supply the shimur lishma. Rav Haigon probably holds that the chazaka, the umdana, the psychological assessment that ein adam neshamer masha biyad chavero, that's a special chumra derabanan that Chazal instituted where? When it comes to taros. But who says that applies in kol ha-tarakula? Who says that applies across the board? It would even apply to matzah? So it seems as though the two opinions in the rush, just to summarize, the two opinions in the rush, whether a goy is kosher or possible to create the chefza shel matzah for the mitzvah of eating matzah on the Seder night, really are debating whether the umdana of ein adam meshamer masha biyad chavero, that psychological assessment that a person will not watch appropriately what's in someone else's hands, does that apply only for taros? Is that a chumra derabanan that's limited to taros? Or is that a principle that Chazal applied across the board? If it's applied across the board, then the shmira that the Yisrael is going to do will be insufficient to render the matzah suitable. The matzah is not going to be called matzah shmura. But if you assume that that principle applies only to taro, so then the Yisrael will be able to be shomer the matzah appropriately. And once he'll be able to be shomer the matzah appropriately, he will as well be able to supply the kavana lishma in that shmira. Based on this interpretation of the Machlokes and the Gaonim, whether a guy is kosher or pasul in the creation of matzah, we now have a justification for Mishin Shmur Matzah. Why? Because if the whole problem, again, we paskin in Shulchan Aruch like that opinion that claims that a guy is pasul to make the matzah. Matzah which is made by a guy is pasul. One can't use that for the mitzvah of matzah on the Seder night. So how can we use the matzah which is created by the machine? Well, if the whole deficiency, if the problem, according to those shitas that claim that a goy is possible, if the whole problem is that ein adam meshamer masha biyad chavero, it could very well be that that's only true if it's taka biyad chavero, if someone else is controlling this object. But if the object is only in the control of the machine, maybe that's not viewed as being in someone else's control. Maybe we could go even further and say that the individual is turning on the machine and who's in control, who's seeing to it that the machine operates appropriately, he is in control of the machine. And if he is in control of the machine and he's guarding the machine to ensure that the dough remains non-chametz, so perhaps that is a good shimur. So maybe he could do the shimur, and maybe he could do the shimur lishma. So it could very well be that even if we are to take the more stringent view, as the Shulchan Aruch seems to, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that a goy is not allowed to create the matzah for matzah's mitzvah. It could very well be that there's a distinction to be drawn between a goy as opposed to a machine, that since the machine is not really a different entity, right? He's not another human being to say that the Isa, the dough, is under his control. No. The machine is still under the control of the person who turned on the machine. So if that's the case, perhaps the individual will be able to do the shmira. We won't apply the principle of ein adam meshamer masha biyad chavero, and therefore he'll be able to supply the kavana lishma as well. If you want to look, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frag in his Mikroi Kodesh and Chelek Beis, Simon Gimel offers such an interpretation. He suggests such a svara to distinguish between matzah that's been created by a goy as opposed to matzah that has been created by the machine. Thus far, we've established that
the matzah that one eats to be mekayim the mitzvah of achilas matzah on the Seder night has to be shmura. It has to be guarded, either mishas lisha, tchina, or we're makbid to have it mishas ktsira. Whether one has to have bedafka, hand shmura matzah, or machine shmura matzah is somewhat of a question. It's dependent on how you understand this halacha that a goy is possible to create the chefetz shel matzah. But it seems as though there is room to negotiate, there is room to believe that mishin shmur matzah can qualify for the matzah shmur that is necessary to be mekayim the mitzvah of matzah on the Seder night. But how much mishin shmur, how much shmur matzah do you need? I mean, to be yotze the mitzvah of achilas matzah on the Seder night, what do you need, a kezayis or two? For the afikoman, you can have an extra kezayis, let's say. For the motzi matzah, you need a kezayis for the motzi, but that's not for the mitzvah of matzah. Kazayas of the motzi, kazayas of the matzah, for the afikoma, maybe two kazaysim, one zeich of the carbon pesach, the other zeich of the matzah. So maximum you need two kazaysim for the mitzvah of matzah. Not too much, even if you have a large family, you're having guests, how much shmur matzah do you possibly need? So it would seem as though you have to buy only that amount of shmur matzah that you need for the chiyuv of achilas matzah, vesulo, and no more shmur matzah. After that, after those first two kazaysim, all the rest of the matzah that you eat, even on the Seder night, can be what we call matzah pshuta. Simple matzah, right? It seems pasha that all you need is matzah pshuta. That as long as you buy 18-minute matzahs, that means matzos that couldn't have become chametz, right? As long as you buy the 18-minute matzos, that's enough. There's no need to have shmur. The truth is, though, there are some achronim that are machmir to have matzah shmura at least for the entire Seder. Not only for the two kazaysim that one eats in order to be yotzi the mitzvah of matzah, but all of the matzah. The matzah during Shulchan Aruch, during the Seuda that you have. Some people are machmer to have matzah even then as well. Why? Well, what's the reason to have matzah shmura for the Seuda when it's not being, at first glance, you're not fulfilling any kind of mitzvah at that point? So the Bach on the tour, the Bach quotes that the Maharal Prague actually suggests that even though there's no obligation to eat more than a kezayis or two of matzah on the Seder night, the fact is whatever matzah you eat on the Seder night constitutes a fulfillment of the mitzvah of matzah. Even though the absolute obligation, the chiyuv, is only to eat a single kezayis, or for us, let's say two kezayisim, but one fulfills a mitzvah, there is a kiyum mitzvah in whatever matzah one eats on the Seder night. How so? The Bach says that the Maharal is medayek from a Gemara on Daf Kuf Ches in Psochim. The Gemara says, Hashamash she'ochal kezayis matzah kashu meisev yotza. If the shamash, the one who's serving other people at the Seuda, eats at least a kezayis, he can be yotza his chiyuv with that kezayis. Sounds like it's only b'di'eved, yotza, he's yotza b'di'eved. If the Gemara is telling me that this is a lechatchila, that all you have to eat is the kezayis of matzah, and there's no kiyum, there's no fulfillment of a mitzvah by eating any more than that, the chora, the Gemara, doesn't even have to be stated. It's an unnecessary Gemara. Why? Because we know that whenever any mitzvah or any aveira involves achila, there's a shear of a kezayis. So why is it necessary for the Gemara to say that if the shamash eats a kezayis, he can be yotze his chiyuv? It's obvious. We know that that the mitzvah of matzah is linked to achila. The pasuk says ba'erev tochlu matzos. So if it's linked to achila, obviously the shear for the mitzvah is a shear kezayis. The fact that the Gemara went out of its way to say that hashamash ocha kezayis matzah yotza indicates that that's only b'di'evet. But lechatchila, one should eat even more. That prompts the Maharal to suggest that the mesubim, those who are sitting at the meal and they're being served, they have the opportunity to eat more, they should eat more matzah. Why not? They can be mekayim mitzvah. The rest of the matzah that a person eats, according to this Maharal, and as well if you look, the Netziv, in his Hakdama to his Haggadah, Imre Shefer, he suggests a similar notion, that any matzah that one eats on the night of the Seder constitutes a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Ba'erev tochlu matzos. It's not part of the obligation. The obligation is simply to eat one kezayis. But any further matzah that you eat is also a kiyum mitzvah. There's also a fulfillment of a mitzvah in eating the rest, in eating matzah the rest of the Seder night as well. So what emerges then is that whatever requirements we have for the primary
matzah. For the matzah which I'm eating to fulfill the obligation, the chiyuv that I have to eat matzah, at first glance, if one wants to be machmir for this maral, for this netziv, one should have matzah which subscribes to all of these criteria as well. So if you need lishma, if you need the kavan lishma in the matzah to be yotzei the primary chiyuv, then one should have the kavan lishma in this extra matzah. If you decide, if you would like to be machmir, to try to be mekayim more of this mitzvah of ba'erev tochel matzah, so then perhaps you should eat shmur matzah for the rest of the Seder as well. But at first glance, after the Seder, there's no reason to eat shmur matzah whatsoever. Right? On the first day of Yom Tov, right, the next day after the Seder, the second day of Yom Tov, Chol HaMoed, the last days of Pesach, at first glance, there's no reason to eat shmur matzah whatsoever. Certainly you should be able to eat matzah pshita. We should point out, of course, one shouldn't be eating what we call matzah ashira, egg matzah. That means matzah that has been, whose dough has been kneaded with the fruit juices or with eggs. Because even though the Gemara says that me peros einon machmitzin, that the fruit juices do not produce chametz, that if the dough is kneaded only with fruit juices, that will not produce chametz. But the poskim, the Rishonim, point out that if you add water to that mixture, if aside from the fruit juice, you also add water, not only can that dough become chametz, but it might be memaher lachmetz. It might become chametz even more quickly. So therefore, as the Ramon Shulchan Aruch writes, the minhag of the Ashkenazim, is not to eat egg matzah unless a person is a chole, if a person is sick or a zaken, if he's somewhat older and it's difficult for him to eat matzah, so then perhaps there's room to be mekel. But for people who are healthy, we try to avoid egg matzah because there's a problem of chimutz. Perhaps the matzah might become chametz. Perhaps the matzah may have become chametz during the process of creation of the matzah. But matzah pshuta, is shomer mishas tchina probably? It's not shmur mishas ktsira, but it's certainly shomer mishas tchina. What could be the problem? Why shouldn't we be able to eat matzah pshuta throughout the Yom Tov? The post can point out that there are two reasons why perhaps one should be machmer. There is room to be machmer, and actually many are machmer. There's room to be machmer to eat matzah shmura throughout the Yom Tov of Pesach. First of all, based on the Rambam that we quoted earlier, the Rambam in Perek Hey Halacha Tes, the Rambam says that Chazal instituted a din derabbanan based on the pasuk Ushmartem es hamatzah. It's above and beyond the mitzvah deraisa, the concept that we mentioned of kavanah lishma. The Rambam says that Chazal instituted another halacha, another concept. Midrabbanan, a person is supposed to be concerned to watch, to guard the grain and the dough that's involved in the creation of the matzah to ensure that it doesn't become chametz. This has nothing to do with matzah's mitzvah, we said. Right? Any matzah that a person is going to eat throughout the Yom Tov of Pesach is supposed to be guarded, we said, right? The Rambam adds another halacha that the pasuk Ushmartem es hamatzos tells me that any matzah that we eat on the Yom Tov of Pesach is supposed to be guarded appropriately to prevent it from becoming chametz. Well, that halacha is not limited to matzah's mitzvah. It applies to any matzah. If it applies to any matzah, so then perhaps there is room to be machmir to eat only shmura matzah throughout, either hand shmura or perhaps machine shmura throughout the Yom Tov of Pesach, to be yotzei this extra din d'rabbanan that Chazal instituted. In fact, they quote that the Chaye Odom mentions that the Vilna Gaon is very makbid to eat shmura matzah throughout the Yom Tov of Pesach. And if you look in the Bir Halacha, in Siman Tov Samach, he says he thinks perhaps this Vilna Gaon was based on this Rambam. Perhaps the Vilna Gaon was based on the notion that above and beyond the requirement of kavana lishma in the creation of matzah's mitzvah, one has to ensure that any matzah that you eat throughout the Yom Tov of Pesach is shomer. It has to be guarded to prevent it from becoming chametz. This is one suggestion that's given to explain why some people are machmir to eat shmur matzah throughout the Yom Tov of Pesach, having nothing to do with the mitzvah of matzah. After the night of the Seder, there's no possible mitzvah, even if you assume that all of the matzah that you eat on the Seder night, as we've explained, might constitute a fulfillment of the mitzvah of matzah. There might be a kiyum mitzvah, as we call it. It's not a chiyum, but there might be a kiyum mitzvah. But certainly, after that, on Chol HaMoed, on the last days of Yom Tov, there's no mitzvah to eat matzah. Nevertheless, even if there's no mitzvah, according to the Rambam, one still should eat matzah shmura, because that's another halacha midrabbanan that Chazal added, that any matzah that a person eats should be guarded to ensure that it doesn't become chametz. But others have claimed that there's another basis for this chumrah. Not based on this issue of shimur mechimot, but rather based on the fact that you always have to eat matzah shmura whenever you fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. Fulfill the mitzvah of matzah? What kind of mitzvah of matzah am I fulfilling on Chol HaMoed? Am I fulfilling throughout the Yom Tov of Pesach? So some have suggested that in fact there is a kiyum mitzvah. There's a kiyum mitzvah even through eating matzah for the rest of the Yom Tov. Not only on the night of the Seder can there be a kiyum mitzvah even after the first Kezias, but throughout the Yom Tov of Pesach, even on Chol HaMoed, even on the last days of Yom Tov, one can fulfill a mitzvah by eating matzah. They point to the Chizkuni. The Chizkuni on Chumash in Source 16 seems to echo such a notion. The pasuk says, "Barishon barbaaser yom lachodesh tov lamatzos ad yom ha'echad ve'esrim lachodesh bo'erev." The pasuk tells me that you should eat matzah from the 14th, the first day of Yom Tov, until the 21st. Why does it have to tell me that I have to eat the matzah, that I should eat the matzah during this time? I know I can't eat chametz, so obviously I'm going to eat matzah. Says the Chizkuni, from here we see a very important principle. Yesh lecha dvarim shemekablan tzchar ba'asiyosan va'onesh kesha'en osin osan. There are some things that if you do them, if you do that act, you can get tzchar. Right? There is reward that a person can receive if he does the act. But if he doesn't do the act, if he's mevatel from that mitzvah, he gets an onesh, he gets punished. Kegon matzah b'layla harishon, like matzah on the first night of Pesach. But, says the Chizkuni, there are other things. Yeah, it's an interesting phraseology that he has. V'yesh lecha dvarim she'ein mekablim tzchar ba'asiyasan v'lo onesh k'she'ein osin osan. It's a freebie. You're not going to get tzchar if you do it, but you don't get the onesh if you don't do it. What's that? He says, kegon matzah milel rishon ve'elech, matzah after the first day. If you don't eat the matzah, you're not going to get punished. But if you don't do eat the matzah, you're not going to get punished. And even if you do, you're not going to get schar either. So what's the point? He says, but you will get additional schar. You won't get the same schar that you get for the pasuk ba'erev tochlo matzos, because eating matzah throughout the Yom Tov of Pesach is not a fulfillment of ba'erev tochlo matzos. That mitzvah is limited to ba'erev, to the night of the Seder. But there is another mitzvah that you will get, and that is Shivas Yamim Matzos Tochelo. There is a mitzvah to eat matzah throughout the Yom Tov of Pesach. It might not be the same mitzvah of Be'erev Tochel Matzos. It might not be a chiyuv, but it still is a kiyuv. It's not what we call a mitzvah chiyuvis, an absolutely obligatory mitzvah, but it is a mitzvah chiyuvis. You will get schar for being mekayim such a mitzvah. This idea is actually hinted to in several Rishonim. We all know that on Chol HaMoed many have the minig not to put on tefillin. The question is why? What's the reason we don't put on tefillin? So we know that on Shabbos and Yom Tov we don't put on tefillin because Shabbos and Yom Tov are called an oath. They're an oath between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael, the special relationship HaKadosh Baruch Hu has with us. So we don't need the oath of tefillin. The oath of tefillin is unnecessary on Shabbos and Yom Tov because Shabbos and Yom Tov are themselves an oath. What's the oath on Chol HaMoed that we don't need tefillin? So if you look at Source 14, the Tosfos in Moed Katan writes that the oath, just the last line, he says, Yesh lomar hol v'ochel matzah v'yoshev besukah ein tzarech oath. Since on Chol HaMoed, Sukkos and Pesach, one is involved in mitzvos, one doesn't need a separate oath. Tosa says the oath of malacha, issa malacha, and Chol HaMoed is questionable because it could be the issa is only the rabbanim. So what is the oath on Sukkos? The sitting in the sukkah. I can understand that. There's a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah on Sukkos. But the oath on Pesach is eating matzah? What kind of an oath is that? A person's eating matzah because he can't eat chametz. The chora, eating matzah on Pesach is like eating yogurt. Well, what's the difference eating cottage cheese? If you don't assume that there's a kiyum mitzvah in eating matzah throughout the Yom Tov of Pesach, what kind of an oath can eating matzah be? It would appear that Tosfos in Moed Katan is assuming that there is a fulfillment of a mitzvah even when one eats matzah throughout the Yom Tov, and that's why it can be called an oath. This idea is highlighted by a famous question of the Baal HaMoed as well. The Baal HaMoed in Source 15 asks, why don't we make a bracha, birchas ha-mitzvah, on eating matzah throughout the Yom Tov of Pesach? Just like we make a bracha of Leisha Basukah throughout the Yom Tov of Sukkos. So at first glance, the question seems very strange. We make a bracha of Leisha Basukah throughout the Yom Tov of Sukkos because we're being mekayim a mitzvah by sitting in the sukkah. But who says there's any mitzvah to eat matzah throughout the Yom Tov of Pesach? I'm eating matzah because I can't eat chametz. In fact, if you look in the Magen Avraham at the end of Hilchas Sukkah, The Magen Avraham quotes that the Maharil answered this question in this very fashion. He thought that there wasn't a question at all. The reason we don't make a bracha, birchas ha-mitzvah, on eating matzah throughout the Yom Tov HaPesach is because there is no mitzvah. But the Baal Amar doesn't give that answer. Look at the Baal Amar. He seems to be saying that we don't make a birchas ha-mitzvah on a mitzvah kiyumis. We only make a birchas ha-mitzvah on a mitzvah chiyuvis, on an absolute obligation. Since the mitzvah of matzah throughout the Yom Tov HaPesach is not an obligation, one isn't chayav to eat the matzah, even if you'll get schar for eating the matzah, it's not a chayav, it's only a kiyum, one only fulfills a mitzvah, so therefore we're not going to make a bracha. But forgetting what the answer of the Baal Amar is, from the question it's clear that the Baal Amar understood that there is a mitzvah to eat matzah, there is a kiyum mitzvah, one will fulfill a mitzvah by eating matzah throughout the Yom Tov of Pesach. This notion that perhaps there is room to be machmir, one might fulfill a mitzvah of eating matzah throughout the Yom Tov HaPesach, is known as the Chumrah of the Vilna Gaon. The Gaon in the Maaser Rav, in the Sefer that collects all of the different customs of the Vilna Gaon, the Maaser Rav in Source 13 says that the Gaon was very makbid to eat matzah the entire Yom Tov of Pesach. In fact, the continuation of the piece here, I believe, says that the Gaon had a minig to eat Shalashudis on Achron Shel Pesach. Shalashudis. Not if Achron Shel Pesach fell out on Shabbos. Even if it were just a regular Yom Tov, it fell out during the week. Now, we know we don't eat Shalashudis. We're not makbid to eat Shalashudis on Yom Tov, even though it's a machlokas Rishonim. We paskin that we don't eat Shalashudis on Yom Tov. So why was the Vilna Gaon makbid to eat a Shalashudis on Yom Tov? So they explain that the Vilna Gaon felt that there was a kiyum mitzvah. One fulfills a mitzvah in all of the matzah that you eat throughout the Yom Tov HaPesach, not only on the night of the Seder, but throughout the Yom Tov HaPesach. And on Achron Shel Pesach, as the day was progressing, the sun was about to go down, the Vilna Gaon felt bad that he was going to lose the opportunity to be mekayim the mitzvah of matzah. He wanted to chaparayim. He wanted to get another opportunity to be mekayim the mitzvah of achilas matzah. So therefore, he had shalashudis on Achron Shel Pesach. If we ought to be machmir, to try to be mekayim this mitzvah of achilas matzah, then once again, perhaps there's room to be machmir, to eat matzah shmura throughout the Yom Tov of Pesach. Either hand shmura matzah or machine shmura matzah. If you want to be mekel, to assume that machine shmura matzah can qualify for the matzah shmura as we've described, then perhaps you can eat the machine shmura as well. But whichever way you slice it, either, even though it's matzah, whichever way you slice it, one, perhaps there is room to be machmir, to eat matzah shmura throughout the Yom Tov of Pesach, because above and beyond the halacha that the Rambam introduced, the din derabbanan of v'shmartem es hamatzos, to ensure that any matzah that you eat is shamur, perhaps there actually is a fulfillment of a mitzvah throughout the Yom Tov of Pesach, and therefore it might be appropriate to eat matzah shmura throughout the Yom Tov of Pesach. Right. You're saying even if there's a mitzvah, if you eat the matzah pshuta, it's still a shmur mishas chin or shmur mishas lisha. It can be makayim something, but since we're machmir in the regular matzah mitzvah to eat mishas tzira, the first answer should try to be machmir.
When you're talking about mishas
tzira.
On the machine matzah, at the beginning you said, what kind of problem could there be with a machine? The same problem we have why we eat 18 minute matzahs and not the third and fourth, second, what do you call it, the thing of the machine. You got the same problem with machine matzahs.
Well, the machine matzah, the machine shmura is all going to be better than 18 minute
matzahs. But the problem is you have to clean it. The problem is the cleaning of the machine.
They were clean. They